This is Classic Business on Classic 1027.
So it's time for tonight's slightly shorter panel discussion. Government has released its Industry Policy Action Plan, or the short acronym. We were just talking about acronyms as IPAP 2018, with a sharp focus on deepening industrial development, speeding up radical economic transformation, and increasing the ability to produce higher valued products. Joining me now for this discussion is Philippa Rotseth, Executive Director at the Manufacturing Circle. Philippa, I hope I said your surname correctly. Dwayne Newman is the Managing Director at Cova Advisory. Manufacturing and industrial development have not had the macroeconomic impact we believe is necessary to put the economy on a higher, more inclusive growth path. Although there are signs and signals of strength in our industrial economy, says Rob Davies, that's the Minister now of Trade and Industry. Philippa, let's start with you. Is that true?
If we have a look at the statistics, manufacturing as a contribution to GDP has in fact been declining. It sat at approximately 25% during the 1980s and is declining to around 12% currently due to various factors. Some would say that we are in fact experiencing the prospect of premature deindustrialization. So it is an aspect that we do need to address and consider, particularly within the context that manufacturing is so important for our economy as the engine of growth for our economy. We cannot hope to employ 26.7% unemployed South Africans purely in financial services sectors and retail. Manufacturing has one of the highest multipliers in terms of job rich growth. If we make things, we need to package them, we need to transport them. So on that basis, we need to focus on what is happening, why it is that we are deindustrializing, and what it is that we can do to remedy the situation.
Dwayne, let's get you involved in the conversation here. Maybe we're just terrible at manufacturing things. Maybe that's just not our skill set. Maybe we should be doing something else.
I don't think that's true. I've been working with the manufacturing industry for over 20 years, and I think there are a lot of examples of where we do things really well. Okay, I think our automotive industry has received a lot of support from the DTO over the years and continues to receive support. We're world class. And if we weren't world class, our large auto manufacturers would not be here. Ultimately, they've got choices, okay, to be manufacturing in other jurisdictions around the world. And if we weren't keeping up and we weren't competitive, that manufacturing would just relocate, as has happened in countries like Australia, where they lost the automotive sector because they weren't competitive, and also they didn't have enough support from their government.
Your take on that, Philippa? I mean, are we good at certain portions of manufacturing, but why has that not become like a world class industry in this country? I mean, I take a drive through East London, and I hear you on car manufacturing, and yes, there are certainly signs of that. But why are we not world class? Why are we not employing millions of people doing something in this country and in exporting it?
Well, at the moment, manufacturing does employ approximately 1.8 million people in our workforce, which is a significant component. We would absolutely love and aspire to see that manufacturing is world-class across all of its subsectors. And really, the challenge is the opportunity in that manufacturing is very diverse. If we look at the various subsectors, value chains, challenges. So what we really need to do is identify what it is that we are good at, and then try to address issues in a cross-cutting kind of way. A practical example, what is it that we can do to drive manufacturing? We need to become more competitive as manufacturers. We need to attain a supportive international trade position, particularly when it comes to unfairly incentivized imports. And we need to promote the reputation of locally manufactured product, provided that it's competitive. So those are three very practical items that we need to address, and it requires a lot of collaboration within industry, within government, and between the two in order to get it right. Because we're dealing with complex commercial interactions, complex value chains, but incredibly important to drive our economy.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Dwayne, let's ask you the question. If you feel uncomfortable answering it, maybe Philippa, maybe between the two of you, you'll answer it. But if you look at government in this country, government employers 3 million people in this, roughly, circa 3 million people in this country. Finance in South Africa, which is banking, anything insurance related, any of the call centers, if you add all of that up, you probably get to a similar number of about 3 million. It should be the other way around. Government shouldn't be employing 3 million people. Government should be employing 1.8 million people, and manufacturing should be employing 3 million people at the end of the day. How do you get that balance right? Who's to blame here? What's going wrong?
I mean, my views, I think if you look at what has government done wrong in terms of leveraging off their own procurement power. Okay, so I think I was looking at the Industrial Policy Action Plan. I think they, in 2017, government bought about 850 billion rands worth of goods. Okay, a lot of that stuff was imported. Okay, they're setting targets saying, well, 75% of that should be locally manufactured. That's 650 billion rands worth of goods. If we work together, okay, and create markets. So a lot of manufacturers really struggle because they don't have a market. So if you're a local, I mean, I was actually talking to a local manufacturer this morning who's struggling. Okay, they've got a great product, great innovation, and they're now talking about selling the IP offshore. And those goods are a lot of goods are sold to the government, but most of them are imported. Okay, they're saying we're really struggling, but are they leveraging off all the procurement levers? Are they leveraging off designation? Okay, so government's trying to designate products where those government agencies will be forced to buy local. Okay, we're only starting on that journey. I think there's 23 products. Okay, out of all the products we manufacture in South Africa who are designated, that has to significantly increase to force government to buy local. Until we get that right, and business goes and applies. So a lot of businesses I talk to have never even heard of the word. Okay, so is there a strategy to go and sell to government? The answer is yes. Well, why haven't you not had a strategy to go and talk about designation to force them to buy your locally manufactured, designed, and where the IP sits in South Africa? Why are you not doing it? Oh, never heard of it. Okay?
Shouldn't government be doing this automatically? Shouldn't they just be procuring this product automatically from a local supplier?
Yeah, but the reality is, if you're going to say, I'm going to put out a tender, do you know if it's locally manufactured? Do you know if it's the right quality? Okay, so there has to be a process. So my view is that that engagement between business. One is understand that government wants to use its procurement power and they sell it in the IPAP. And then you as business need to go to them saying, I make a world-class product. Please designate me. So when the tenders come out, there's no ifs and buts and maybes. Government is forced to buy that. And you then can grow your local manufacturing base.
Dwayne makes the interesting comment around business people in South Africa, and he's talking about manufacturing here, that potentially not all the incentives are used in the journey to try and be a manufacturer, trying to operate in South Africa, trying to comply with everything that you're supposed to comply with, paying the taxes, paying the VAT over, all of those things. It's a really complicated journey, Philippa. It's not an easy journey to start a business in this country and then to try and deal with all the other issues. Is maybe the reason why manufacturing doesn't employ the number of people that it employs is that when you speak to most people, they just see the journey as almost an impossible journey. Government has made it an impossible journey because it's just too many hoops to jump.
The manufacturing circle and the members that we represent, private companies,
maybe start with that. What is the manufacturing circle? Just maybe tell us quickly about that.
We are an association of companies. We are the voice for manufacturing. We represent industry. We talk to the importance of manufacturing and what is required in order to grow the sector. So our manufacturing members would certainly, none of them would say that manufacturing is for sissies. Mm-hmm. But I would advocate that that's probably the same throughout the world. But what we don't want to become is a wasteland of imports, because manufacturing employs people. It creates an opportunity for on-the-job training, amongst other things. And on many levels, we need to grow the sector. And like anything, it's really about balance. And talking to the issue of the first thing, I mean, manufacturing, it's really, if one dumbs it down, so to speak, you've got inputs and you've got outputs. And basically, we need to address both issues at the same time. If we don't have sufficient demand, it's all very well. You can do everything on the supply side to become more competitive. But if you don't have the demand, there's less initiative to make these changes. So we really, first and foremost, need to grow demand. I would suggest, given that we don't have a government representative on this panel tonight, and although Manufacturing Circle represents industry, we work closely with government, and I would suggest that government has done quite a lot in terms of designation and committing to buy locally procured products, and that, in fact, private sector has a lot more to do in that regard. Where it makes sense to buy local, we need to do that. And we also need to look at where our opportunities are to grow our exports, so that basically we are servicing a larger market, which then leads to the economies of scale that manufacturing requires in order to become more competitive. So basically, it's pretty complex, but it's equally incredibly important.
Dwayne, we've got 30 seconds to go here. Just tell us, the 10th IPAP, what are you looking forward to?
I think I'm looking forward to business being a lot more engaged with DTI. There's the manufacturing in Durban coming up in June. It's a great platform for business and government to engage with each other, talk about all of what they call the transversal issues, the incentives, the procurement issues, and also to make sure those sectors across the value chains talk to each other.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, we've listened to Stephanie, to Philippa Rotsis. She's the executive director at the Manufacturing Circle, and then Dwayne Newman, MD at Cova Advisory. This was the Classic Business Panel.